The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hi, Rolene. Let's try that again. Let's see if the line's better.
Let's see if the sequel works.
Oh, that is so much better. Rolene, global condemnation is growing for the anti-Semitic comments made by the United Nations Human Rights Council investigator Maloun Kothari. Which other countries and entity have added their voice to this?
Well, today we've had Norway and Sweden add their voices to the growing list of countries, of entities, of agencies that are condemning Maloun Kothari's revolting comments. So let's just revisit what he said. Now, Maloun Kothari, along with Navi Pillay and Christopher Sedotti, also have records of making pro-BDS, anti-Israel and anti-Semitic comments. Christopher Sedotti commented that Jews throw around the term anti-Semitism like rice at a wedding. Navi Pillay, we know she's old hat, she supports BDS. She has called into question Israel's right to exist. She has accused Israel of being an apartheid state. Well, the list of entities and countries is growing rapidly. We've also had the High Representative for United Nations Alliance of Civilizations. We've had the United Nations Religious Freedom High Commissioner. We've had the UN Secretary General. We've had the Chair of the United Nations Human Rights Council. We've had anti-Semitism envoys from both the United States and Canada, all condemning the appalling comments by Maloun Kothari. So just to recap, the following countries have condemned the comments: Norway, Sweden, Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Czech Republic, the EU Parliament, France, Germany, Hungary, Italy, Israel, Netherlands, and the United Kingdom and the United States. Yesterday, the High Representative for United Nations Alliance of Civilizations, I've spoken about them before on this show, that are dedicated to the fight against anti-Semitism, Miguel Moratinos, said, "I am determined to continue to work with all UN member states, particularly the State of Israel, as well as all relevant non-state actors, UN entities, and relevant bodies to combat and monitor anti-Semitism, as well as enhance a system-wide response. Words matter. Hate rhetoric is toxic. Therefore, education about anti-Semitism is key to combating it in all its forms. It is also essential to agree on a definition of anti-Semitism." I just remind listeners that the IRA definition of anti-Semitism, something that Moratinos is familiar with, is in existence. He says, "The UNASC remains committed to take a firm stance against anti-Semitism, including any comments or actions seen as stigmatizing the Jewish people." A spokesperson earlier today from the Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, says that there is no room for anti-Semitism at the United Nations or in any of the work done by the United Nations. And Israel unquestionably is a member state of the United Nations. If you recall, Kothari not only claimed that Jews control social media, but also said that he doesn't see why Israel is a member state of the United Nations. We've heard from UN Watch, from the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations in the United States, as well as the World Jewish Congress, all calling for Kothari to step down.
And Rolene, what kind of action should be taken, do you think?
Well, what is interesting is the Secretary General says that he has no authority on the Commission of Inquiry. He, in other words, cannot force the investigator to step down. But international condemnation is mounting. You know, unfortunately, he does have the backing of his co-panelist Navi Pillay, who says that his comments were taken out of context. I would remind Pillay that if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's not a zebra. And Francesca Albanese, she's the special rapporteur for the Palestinian territory. She called it a smear campaign against Qatari. But his comments are plain for everybody to hear. There's no misrepresentation of what he said at all. So what many of us believe might happen is he might step down and the Commission of Inquiry might fob it off as saying, okay, well, we've dealt with the anti-Semitism that's part of our panel. However, Israel, along with other entities, are calling for the Commission of Inquiry to be disbanded and dissolved, saying that, you know, there's no impartiality as per the rules and regulations of the United Nations, and this witch hunt actually has to stop. I mean, the one thing Qatari did do is he did us all a favor. Instead of couching his rhetoric as anti-Zionism, often a tactic used by anti-Semites, he just came out and said exactly what he meant, and made no discernment between Jews, between Zionists. He said what he meant what he said, and it's all there for everybody to hear.
For a second day now, Israel's south has been in a state of high alert for possible reprisal attacks following the arrest of a Palestinian Islamic Jihad leader. What's the current situation with this?
Well, the current situation is that the south still remains in a situation of high alert, even though we had a quiet day yesterday and a quiet day today. The IDF has bolstered the Gaza division by sending 100 reservist troops as well as 3 conscript companies to back up the southern command, the Gaza units that are on site there as well. There have been some reports of tanks along the border just in case we have to prepare for any kind of firing, whether it be shots fired at civilians in the nearby towns like Kibbutz Netiv HaAsara or Sderot. And of course, we've bolstered our air defense systems that would be rolling out Iron Dome batteries. Earlier today, Prime Minister Lapid convened his high-level security cabinet to discuss the tensions, to discuss any possible strategies along the border with Gaza. And his spokesperson said that he remains to be updated as the day goes on.
And many Gazans are resurrecting the "I want to live" moment or movement. And what is this, and why is this so important?
Well, this is quite extraordinary. Let's work backwards. The reason that it is so important is that we have Gazans, we have the voices of ordinary Gazan civilians at great risk to their personal safety, not taking to social media platforms with this hashtag, "We Want to Live." So the campaign, which surfaced a couple of months ago, which is resurfacing now, is a campaign by thousands of Gazans, including those outside of Gaza, expats, who are saying that they hold Hamas mainly responsible for the economic, the political, and the social problems in the Gaza Strip. They said in a statement, "We are reviving this campaign once again to raise our voices against Hamas's policies that added to the tragic situation already experienced by residents for years because of the Israeli blockade." Now, let's just also remind everybody that Egypt also has a legal maritime blockade in place. Israel has a legal maritime blockade in place. And even though the campaign organizers don't want to be named, they were talking to the New Arab as well as Al Arabiya, which is a London-based publication. And they've gone on to say that Hamas insists on draining our people by imposing more taxes, ignoring the poverty and high rates of unemployment. And it's the right time to demand our right to live just like any other people around the world. And some have reported that the suicide rate in the Gaza Strip has increased. You know, it's a horrific phenomenon we've seen around the world, especially coming out of the global pandemic. But in Gaza, this particularly linked to the dire humanitarian situation that the people of Gaza live with.
Rolene, thank you for the Israel Report update today. Have a good evening. Looking forward to chatting to you tomorrow.